broadcasting from the Unshackled Studios in Melbourne. This is Wilmsfront, brought to you by theunshackled.net. Now here's Tim Wilms.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to tonight's show. The date is Wednesday, the 22nd of April, 2020. It is 7 p.m. here in Melbourne. We are live on the Wilmsfront YouTube channel and on my DLive channel. It's my first show since Monday's epic episode with Max Egan from the Crow House. I've seen my channel grow by over 100 subscribers since then, so I've passed the milestone of 500 subscribers to this channel, halfway to 1,000, which would see this channel, if all went well, monetized by YouTube. It would also mean that I could get a custom URL and also make community posts on YouTube. So let's see if I can get to the 1K, the other half, quickly. Now, there's a number of new eyeballs tonight, so I thought another solo stream with some AMA would be the best next follow-up episode. To ask me anything, please click on the Entropy link, which you can find in the description, or I'll put it in the live chat again. Now, for those of you who don't know what Entropy is, it is a YouTube-enhanced software. You're allowed to directly ask me questions in the Entropy interface. They don't get lost in the YouTube live chat. And you can also send through super chats, which gets around this channel not being monetized. And if I feel like it, I can also do a poll as well. Now, before I get into the coronavirus, it's not a pandemic anymore. It's a flattened pancake curve. Is what I've referred to it now, because we're getting basically less than 20 new cases in Australia nationwide per day now, which is why it should be called a flat pancake curve. It hasn't just been flattened, it's also dipped, it's now flatlined. And so we're all rightfully asking, when can we get our freedom back? But because we're so being focused on, the media and the politicians have been focused on the coronavirus pandemic, we missed a few anniversaries this week. Today, on the 22nd of April, it is the 50th birthday of Earth Day, which was started in April 22nd, 1970. Which was after all high-profile pollution events. And don't forget the book, The Population Bomb in 1968 by Paul Urquhart, which said that by the late 1970s, the Earth was going to be so overpopulated that there was going to be mass starvations and all the crops would be barren. Well, it's 52 years since that book now, but 50 years since Earth Day. And while the Earth's still standing, the human population is 7 billion. So humanity's done quite well. Yesterday, it was also Queen Elizabeth II, Queen Liz. It was her 94th birthday. She was born on April 21, 1926. She asked for a low-key birthday celebrations. So there was no gun salutes there. You remember earlier on during the pandemic, she did a special Queen's message to the British public because they are still in lockdown. And of course, on Monday, I forgot to remind everyone that it was 420, which it's most commonly known in the contemporary popular culture as Stoner's Day, even though the date itself has no significance to stoner culture. It's just a day that they picked. It's sort of like how 1488 doesn't actually refer to a specific year. When I first heard somebody shout 1488, I thought they were referring to something that happened in 1488, but no, it's the 14 words and the 88 precepts. But the significance of 420, apart from the Stoner's Day, is that it is 52 years since British MP Enoch Powell's Rivers of Bloodshed, where he talked about mass third world migration to Britain would lead to rivers of blood, and he was pilloried for that, called a racist and demonized. He had his career ruined. But if you look at the state of multicultural Britain at the moment, with the grooming gangs, the terror attacks, which, well, until lockdown were pretty frequent, even though they weren't always deadly. And of course, don't forget the acid attacks and knife crime epidemic in London. So that's the rivers that have flowed into the British Isles over the past 52 years. And blink and you would miss it. Certainly you haven't been reminded about it. Only Mark Latham, New South Wales One Nation MLC, has reminded us that it's 250 years since Captain Cook's landing in Australia on the Endeavour 2. I'll just bring up, I'm able to do proper screen share here. So this is from the arts.gov.au website, 250th anniversaries of Captain Cook's voyage to Australia. So if you go further down here, it was on 420, April 20, when Captain James Cook, he first saw land. I've got to find the specific part here. Yes, Point Hicks, 20th of April, 1770. The Endeavour sailed north, first landed at Botany Bay on the 29th of April, 1770. So this is sort of the 9-day period of the discovery of Australia. So yes, blink and you would miss it there. That's how they want, how much the left want you to forget this significant day in the founding of Australia. Already got a few questions on entropy. Port Film Co-op, what is Senator Slayer's big announcement today? Well, if you go over to his channel, he's already posted the video vlog from earlier today. It's just an update on his disrupting religious worship charge at that gay church back in May of last year. And he talks about the LGBT liaison officers who've been involved in the case, and also the fact that at his last physical mention hearing, he had what he believed was a lesbian magistrate. She had quite short hair, in his opinion, had a very lesbian appearance. And Bieber anti-bullying, will you investigate and expose the secret LGBTQIP cabal in the Victoria police? Well, that's obviously referring to what Senator Slayer, his video earlier today. I think he set it out quite a deep detail there. So I'd recommend watching that video. But it's no secret that they have these LGBT liaison officers, because the police 30, 40 years ago, they were enforcing the state laws against sodomy, which have been repealed now. So part of these liaisons officers' role is to basically repair the police's relationship with the LGBT community. And I know in Victoria, Daniel Andrews gave an apology on behalf of previous governments and the police for prosecuting sodomy laws, and they've expunged sodomy convictions in Victoria now, which they no longer show up on people who'd been convicted of that charge, their criminal record now. Somebody in the chat has mentioned the Karen meme, which I know that has been getting a lot of traction lately. I'll bring it up now. The best site to go to this is the the Know Your Meme website. That's a that has quite a. It's basically the Urban Dictionary, the meme version of Urban Dictionary here. So let's have a look at what this Karen meme is. Karen is a slang term used as an antagonistic female character in memes. Karen is generally characterized as an irritating, entitled woman, sometimes as an ex-wife who took custody of the kids. It's unclear whether exactly Karen began seeing use as a prerogative character. It started with the, "Oh my God, Karen, you just can't ask someone why they're white" meme from Mean Girls. Others believe that the popularity of the meme may have come from the character Karen from the 1989 gangster film Goodfellas. Wasn't Goodfellas in 1990, not 1989? One of the earliest widespread examples, Nintendo Switch Karen. If we go down here in the trailer, a woman brings the Switch to a rooftop party. That day, Tumblr used the Joe Meter posted a joke about a woman arriving at the party with a caption, "Oh shit, Karen brought her stupid Nintendo thing to the party again. We're drinking, Karen. We're having conversations." I know that the feminists are already outraged about the Karen meme because that it's supposedly a meme used to silence women in the same way that OK Boomer is used to shut up boomers. When a woman gets triggered online, when you say to them, "OK, Karen," that's apparently meant to shut them up. Bieber Anti-Bullying has asked, "How are you staying safe from the yoga mom accelerationists the SBS reported on today?" You'll have to go into more detail about that, Bieber. I haven't heard about the yoga mums. I thought for a moment you said yogurt mums there. So if you want to ask a question, I'll put the entropy link in again. Now, have I forgotten any other anniversaries? I know that 420 is also my friend Caleb's birthday. So happy birthday to you, Caleb. He's always been a good friend to me, so I remember to wish him a happy birthday. But yes, on with the coronavirus pancake statistics at the moment. I'll go to, the government's own information here. Now, they haven't updated the coronavirus infographic from yesterday, but there hasn't been any major spike in anything in the past few days. So let's have a look at it here. Yes, so they always report this, the media, the total cases, 6,645. But they don't tell you about the recovered cases, 4,291. So two-thirds of people who contracted coronavirus have recovered. And we've had, it's actually up to 72 deaths now. This is why this is out of date. So as you can see, an extremely low death rate there. 47 people in intensive care units nationwide because of the coronavirus in my home state of Victoria. 12. So Daniel Andrews, remember, he wanted the convention center as a makeshift hospital and morgue. So statewide, we've got 12 coronavirus cases, and no wonder they're allowing elective surgeries. Again, that was decided at yesterday's National Cabinet meeting. And people think that when you hear the phrase elective surgery, that they mean things like boob jobs and facelifts and tummy tucks. The chief medical officer himself actually clarified what elective surgery means. That means non-urgent surgery, which means that if you don't have that surgery, it's surgery that's not immediate for you to keep living. That's what it is. So it includes things like breast reconstruction after breast cancer. So pretty serious procedures. So it basically means that, they're important things, elective surgery, for your health, but if you, they're not urgent that you need to have them right now for you to survive. Though if delayed for long enough, not having an elective procedure could lead you to an early grave. As you can see there, we've nearly conducted 440,000 coronavirus tests, 1.5% positive rate. So we're leading the world on testing, and our positive rate continues to decrease there. And as you can see, that's the curve down there. See, it peaked there around the 27th of March there, and it's constantly gone down. And well, as you can see there, there was a slight spike yesterday, which I know the media was eager to report on there. And if you have a look at the deaths there, there's only one death under 50 in Australia. Most have been in their 70s, 80s, and 90s. But you can see cases by age group and sex. It's still 20 to 29-year-olds who've tested positive the most. Most of the deaths have been male, but it's young women, they've tested positive the highest. Yeah, and I've made the point before, but it's worth making again. Notice how coronavirus tests, they're only conducted on male and female. There's no breakdown of the 72 genders or millions and millions of genders there. So I haven't heard anyone complain that they're not including the non-binary tests there. So I've put the entropy link in again. So if you have a question or a super chat, please use the entropy link there. Now, of course, I've been making this point all week, given that the curve has flatlined. When do we get our freedom back now? Of course, Scott Morrison, he listed last week his three conditions. That is, they want that positive rate to be less than 1%. They want the ability to be able to lock down outbreaks. And they also want to be able to trace where an infection came from. I don't get why this is so important, because the reason why we're told we needed to go into lockdown is to flatten the curve so our ICU wards were not overwhelmed. That's clearly not going to happen now. So they're moving the goalposts now. They're making the bar higher so that the lockdown can be lifted. It should be lifted now, because it's clear our ICU wards are not going to be overwhelmed. So we are rightfully asking, when can we get our freedom back? And this is why I've titled tonight's show, Now is the Time for Politics, because we're all told at the beginning that we've got to unite behind our leaders. Now's not the time to play politics. We're all in this together. Remember that. Oh, I'm so sick of hearing that stupid song now, we're all in this together. Well, we've all clearly got through this together now. But of course, our state and federal leaders, they keep scaring us about a second outbreak, one dinner party or one birthday party, and all our hard work, all our sacrifice, all of the jobs we've ruined through the lockdown will all be for nothing. And Daniel Andrews, our premier in Victoria, said, "Oh, don't get ahead of yourselves. This is going to be it's going to be a long, long time before we go back to normal." And I know that it's been estimated that the pubs, clubs, bars, and restaurants and nightclubs won't be open until September. The NRL looks like it'll come back on May 28th, as they announced, albeit with no crowds. The AFL hasn't announced yet. Covered last night on the Uncuckables, the NRL CEO Todd Greenberg, he had resigned. He said today that he was glad to be out of the job, and he was looking forward to spending more time with his family, and that he was very proud to lead a more inclusive NRL. And one of the highlights was getting Macklemore out to sing same love at the NRL grand final. I've just been alerted to a breaking news that there's been a major crash somewhere in Melbourne. Wait, the story's gone here. I'll see if I can get a hold of it to see what exactly is going on. But we are a live breaking news show. I like to bring you breaking news when I receive it. Oh, here we go. Here, this is on there. If it lets me see the article. So this has just happened right now. Several people feared dead after crash on Eastern Freeway. Police officers fear their colleagues may be among those killed in a horror crash on the Eastern Freeway. Emergency services were called to the freeway near the Burke Street exit in Kew after reports multiple vehicles, including at least one police car and a semi-trailer, had collided at 5:40 p.m. on Wednesday. Yeah, that looks horrific there. Aerial vision from the scene show a large number of emergency service vehicles on site, including two fire trucks, semi-trailer with debris scattered behind it for more than 100 meters. Motorists being urged to avoid the area with significant delays expected. A Victoria Police spokeswoman described the scene as dynamic. Emergency service are currently responding to a collision in Kew tonight. Multiple vehicles involved in the collision, a number of police officers believed to have been involved. Lacks circumstances surrounding the incident are yet to be determined. So obviously, if you have left the house, you will have noticed that a lot of other people are leaving the house as well. I went to the supermarket just before I went to air tonight, got everything set up to get some dinner. And yeah, it was quite heavy traffic for peak hour. Obviously, we in the state of Victoria, where we're only allowed to leave the house for essential purposes, which is to get essential supplies for care or medical treatment, for exercise or for work and education. Now, Daniel Andrews said he might let us out of the house for more reasons. How generous of him to let us go out for a few more reasons. Because remember, you're not allowed to, not even allowed to have one friend over for a drink, a social drink at the moment. Remember Victoria's 6-hour bonking ban that Daniel Andrews said you couldn't go to your partner's place who you didn't live with because somebody could die from coronavirus on the way. And remember that we're the only state here in Victoria that has banned golf and fishing because that could, even if you do practice social distancing during golf, somebody could die from coronavirus. Cresto has said, is a sexual emergency necessary? Well, I think that's why they termed Daniel Andrews' temporary ban on seeing your partner you didn't with a bonking ban. Maybe Daniel Andrews, he heard back from some of his more degenerate voters who he needed to have their sexual urges released, and that's a form of care. Beaver anti-bullying is last asked on Entropy. Did you know the opium wars were instigated by David Sassoon, the Jewish merchant who had a monopoly rights on selling opium to China? No, I didn't know that. I'll look more into that, but I'm definitely familiar with the opium wars, and China is extremely still bitter and angry about the opium wars, which began there, their 100 years of humiliation by the British and the Japanese, which is why they're so hell-bent on world domination today, because they remember how they were humiliated by all the other powers in the world, and they want to rise for themselves, and they also still play the colonization guilt trip on us. They've just accused Peter Dutton because I'll go into this story now. So the Chinese they've called Peter Dutton. They've said he's peddled bigotry and ignorance. China has slammed Peter Dutton for propaganda war because Peter Dutton, he told the Nine Network, I don't think it's too much to ask. It will certainly be demanded of us if Australia was at the epicenter of a virus making its way in society, I think it's incumbent upon China to answer these questions, to provide the information to people who have clarity about what happened, because we don't want it to be repeated. It's referring to, obviously, the outbreak of the coronavirus. And we know this is not the first instance of virus being spread from the wildlife wet market, and to be honest, and we need to be honest about that. Chinese spokesperson said Dutton had exposed Australia's ignorance and bigotry, calling him pitiful. It makes people really, this is Dutton again, it makes people really curious that in recent, oh, here we go. No, this is China here. It makes people really curious that in recent days, Mr. Dutton showed a sudden interest in China's transparency. Obviously, he must have received some instructions from Washington, crime to cooperate with the US in its propaganda war against China. Spokesperson said the comments were part of an anti-China campaign enacted by high levels officials in the United States. Their aim is to shift blame and deflect attention by smearing China. These days, certain Australian politicians are keen to parrot what those Americans have asserted and simply to follow them in staging political attacks on China. I mean, don't China get now that the race card, it doesn't have the same effect as it did a year ago now, because remember they called Alan Jones a racist last week for attacking China for being the birthplace of the virus. And as I commented then, they could have had said much worse about Alan Jones if they wanted to smear him than just call him a racist. I mean, it's really getting old and stale now. But yeah, they went one up on Peter Dutton, calling him a bigot and an ignoramus. So yes, I'm sure Dutton, he's going to be quite triggered by that. I mean, nobody's ever called him a bigot before. They didn't want to call him Mr. Potato Head or something. Is that the best they could do? I mean, seriously. I put the entropy link in again in the chat. So if you want to ask a question and send through a super chat, that's where you need to go. What else have I got here? Oh, yes. What to do about the coronavirus now that the curve has flatlined? Because as I've already established, we were told that we needed to go into lockdown to flatten the curve, and so our health system wasn't overformed. Now apparently the medical experts are debating whether to eliminate the coronavirus, because that's what New Zealand wants to do. They're even on an even more extreme stage of lockdown than us, where you can't even get KFC. New Zealand wants an elimination strategy, Australia wants suppression, but can we have both? Medical reporter Sophie Scott and specialist reporting team Nick Sass and Penny Timms. So if we go down here, what are the experts saying? Virologist Kirsty Short said Australia's case numbers of the past week suggested that eradication of the coronavirus was feasible. But the problem with an elimination strategy, if it was implemented, will block off our borders indefinitely as the virus continues to spread outside of Australia. Whether or not it is practical is a completely different question. Another risk of elimination is somebody falling through the cracks of surveillance. You know, somebody might not download the app. I don't get what this obsession is tracing every case of coronavirus now that the curve is so flat. I mean, do we trace every, are we going to start tracing every outbreak of the common cold and flu? I've told you about how last winter, myself, Maddie Rose, David Hiscott, Blair Cottrell, and Neil Erickson, we all got the flu, but we don't know who was patient zero. Was it one of us five, or did we get it from somebody else? I see that Senator Slay is in the chat. Do you know where you got the winter flu from? Who was patient zero? I mean, if somebody gets the flu again this winter, are they going to want to trace that as well? So instead, she said, this is Kirsty Short, Australia's existing suppression tactic would result in a low level of infection circulating in the community, but it would never be so high to overwhelm the health system and see high mortality rates we've seen overseas. Yes, she admits it. Not sure that Australia could learn from countries like Japan, which had a largely voluntary lockdown light strategy, and Singapore, where loosening restrictions had seen a high rise in cases. The risk for New Zealand is that advisor to the New Zealand government microbiologist Syoxy Wild said she was conscious the elimination strategy meant long-term closure of New Zealand borders. It's going to be all about how we manage people coming into the country. The New Zealand government do know what the risk is when we get uncontrolled movement of people in if those people are infected. But ANU infectious disease specialist Sanjaya Senayayak said New Zealand was not doing it better than us in terms of cases per head and population. Yes, they're doing worse than us, despite their being on an even more extreme version of lockdown, and with police going even further to stop people leaving the house. Said any elimination strategy would only be short-lived until a vaccine was found, if a vaccine was found. He believed that gradual lifting of restrictions meant health and government agencies would need to be on alert for new outbreaks, and did not think Australians would be shaking hands anytime this year. Lifting restrictions does mean you did not lift surveillance. Yes, got to download the app. We should intensify that and testing, because we want to jump on cases immediately. Businesses reopening will have to rethink how they operate. Factories may need to plexiglass between workers. If you've been down to Woolies or Coles today, you may see the plexiglass there. It's not bulletproof glass, so you can still, if somebody wants to rob the supermarket with a gun or a knife, they can still do it. It's not even fully contained. I mean, they can still stick the weapon underneath the plastic there. I don't want to give anyone any ideas on that, but I'm just saying it's basically the plexiglass is basically a cough guard and nothing else. And Deputy Chief Medical Officer Nick Coatsworth, it's worth seeing what Dr. Nick Coatsworth looks like. I haven't got a photo of him on hand, but have a look what he looks like. Said the issue with pushing forward eradication was creating a non-immune population, so we wouldn't get that herd immunity, which has been the goal of other nations such as Sweden. The process is suppressing. We get to the point of eradication, that would mean a significant outcome, but we must continue to build the capacity and continue to contain the virus and remember that we're not immune from it. And all the rest is just about a vaccine for it there. But yes, so when they talk about an elimination strategy, you can find in the fine print, that means a continued lockdown, house arrest, only allowed out for reasons the government deems essential there. I've got another question from Court Film Poop here. Will you do or host any debates with leftists? Sometimes I think the alt media scene has become a big stagnant and could do with some internet blood sports. More interesting than just reading articles. I know that the Dusty Bogan, he sometimes invites trolls in his live chat to come on his streams. Although I don't think you should give no-name Antifa people, trolls in your chat, a platform. James Fox Higgins made that point quite well on last week's Uncuckables. If there are any leftists of note, you know, who say who run a blog or operate a YouTube channel or Facebook page, who want to have a debate with us, have some sort of credibility or CV, then yes. Sinister has asked, how do you feel about dominating in that live interview? Nearly 4,000 views. Yes, he's referring to the Max Egan interview from Monday night. The reason why the views are so high is because I have to thank Max for sharing it on his social media channels. He shared it in his private Facebook group and also on his YouTube community channel. So it's all of his followers that have come on over to view the interview and subscribe to the channel. Obviously, a lot of them liked the interview and me enough to subscribe to the channel. Obviously, I do want to keep them here tonight. So, as I keep saying, if you want to ask a question, come on over to Entropy. YouTube is trying to say that there's not enough video to maintain smooth streaming. I'm sure that you'll let me know here in the chat if there's something wrong with the stream, but none of you are complaining at the moment. Port Film Cover said, "That's boring and weak, Tim." What, so I should just give some no-name Antifa far-left troll a platform? That's not how it works. You only debate somebody who is at the same sort of media public stature as yourself. That's how it works. Portfilm also said, "Tim is patient zero, but not for the flu." I'm not sure what you're referring to there. All right, now let's have a look at there's been a lot of talk. I know that our leaders have talked vaguely about the pain that we've endured during the lockdown to contain the coronavirus, but now finally we're getting some hard economic devastation data here, and the governor of the Reserve Bank, Philip Lowe, said this is going to be the biggest contraction since the 1930s, he told the media this afternoon. If we go down here, that expected national output to fall by around 10% over the first half of 2020, with most of this decline occurring in the June quarter, which is the quarter up to June, which we wonder in now. The unemployment rate is likely to be around 10% by June. All those are very large numbers and ones that are inconceivable just a month or two ago. And he's mentioning inflation here. We're also expecting a sudden decline in the June quarter of inflation, the large fall in oil prices, because if you have left the house, you'll notice that the petrol prices have now plummeted to below a dollar a litre. Now it's continued to fall. The dollar per barrel, the international oil price, and I know that the Australian government announced today that they're going to be opening up a oil petrol reserve over in the United States, because if you recall my interview with economist Martin North, he talked about how we only have 30 days worth of fuel security, and we definitely need much more than that, especially with oil prices per barrel at record lows. Now's the perfect time to do it here. But I'll just go back to Philip Lowe here. So he's predicting a decline in inflation combined with the introduction of free childcare and the referral or reduction in some price increases mean that's quite likely the year-ended headline inflation will turn negative in the June quarter. If so, this will be the first time in early 1960s where the price level has fallen for over a full year. So the economic data still to come would be very sobering picture of the state of our economy. That's a very diplomatic term for saying that it'll be absolutely awful. Many reports of record declines in this economic statistics where the stress this period would pass. Yeah, I think we can be confident our economy will bounce back and that we'll see it recover, he said, noting the timing and pace of the recovery depends upon how long we need to restrict economic activities. I'll just translate that there. It's how long governments wish to restrict economic activity there. Under this scenario, we expect the economy to begin its bounce back by its September quarter, and that bounce back to strengthen from there. Because remember when he talks about restriction on economic activity, that should be translated as restrictions on freedom. Because I've spoken about this before, how the left have tried to quite successfully abstract the economy to refer to just activity that benefits rich people. No, anyone who has a job is part of the economy. Anybody who has lost their job has been affected by the coronavirus economic downturn. People who can't go and enjoy a concert or a night out on the town, they have also been restricted in engaging in economic activity, which is paying for a ticket or a dinner meal, which is an infringement on their freedom as well. So the economy, economic activity is economic freedom, which is freedom. So this is freedom restriction is the translation of this. And I keep banging on about my Premier, Daniel Andrews. His state treasurer, Tim Pallas, he's the big fat guy in the middle there. He actually looks quite slim there, actually, but you can see he's in the distance there. He's been pretty fat throughout all his career. There's Daniel Andrews. There is XYZ. XYZ boys call him Dick Ears Dan Andrews. Although to give Daniel Andrews some credit, he was quite porky himself in the past, but he has lost the weight and he's kept it off. He looks basically like a stick figure there. So that'd be good. The rest of us could lose a few pounds if we're allowed back in the gym, which all the gyms are still closed now. So unless you don't have the privilege of a home gym, and remember, you can't go to somebody else's house to use their home gym. That's not allowed. So coronavirus modeling from Victorian Treasury predicts unemployment of 11%, falling property prices, and the ABC provided as catastrophic modeling from the Department of Treasury and Finance. 270,000 Victorians could be out of work. And this for the unemployment rate of 11% peak in the September quarter. Victoria's gross state product may also fall by an unprecedented 14% relative to previous forecasts. The property market will be a major source of government revenue through stamp duty, which is a ripoff. Prices predicted to fall by 9%. So Tim Pallas has said these figures are bleak. They're quite frankly catastrophic, and yes, you have contributed to them with, and you will continue to contribute to them if you and your premier want to keep us all locked up and don't allow us to even play golf. Premier Daniel Andrews has said the impact of COVID-19 was the biggest economic and employment challenge that our state has faced, perhaps ever. This is very significant. There is an enormous amount of damage that has been done to Victoria's economy. Or that you continue to do to Victoria's economy by refusing to look at lifting coronavirus restrictions, not allowing children to go back to school. And it goes through the figures that I mentioned before. Victorian tally, 1,136. That is coronavirus cases in total. That doesn't include the recovery rates as well. Another two confirmed cases were added to other states' numbers. Mr. Andrews thanked the public for adhering to physical distancing restrictions and called the measures taken so far an effective suppression strategy, because he and his chief health officer, Dr. Brent Sutton, has said that they saved 36,000 lives, even though that in New South Wales they only modelled that they'd save 700 lives. So something is seriously out of whack there. He thanked the public for adhering to the physical restrictions, because we're all being threatened with $1,600 fines if we don't adhere to your restrictions. They are physical distancing laws, which if you break them, you're a criminal. It's an infringement. Because it's there's a difference between, what is that? There's a crime, there's a summary offense, and there's an infringement as well. And Daniel Andrews said, if we don't deal with the health challenge dealt appropriately, we will see even more economic damage. Yes. I mean, we could have maybe 13 people in intensive care if we ease things slightly. I mean, we're looking at the same figures you are, Daniel Andrews, Scott Morrison, Gladys Berejiklian. It's becoming harder and harder to justify continuing these social restrictions on freedom for another, what has it been, 1 month now. Scott Morrison said we've got to do all this for at least 6 months. That was the rough time frame that they sent out. In terms of the borders being shut, I'm happy for Australia's borders to be shut for the rest of the year. So I just want to be free to move around my city, my state, where I reside in, because let's not remember that it was the globalists, the jet setters who traveled all around the world, and when they came back they threw large dinner parties and BBQs and weddings and gave them to all their globalists socialite friends, and which is why we had to go into this lockdown. I'll just check on entropy here. Bieber anti-bullying has said, did you know that even if the protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion are a forgery of a book by Maurice Jolly, he was still the protege of Eldolf Krimek, Jewish head of Scottish Rite Freemasonry. No, I didn't know that. You're asking me all these things that I didn't know. Bieber, you have got my email. It's in the description, Bieber, which is me@timwilms.com. So if you've got a recommended reading list or things that you want me to look up, just email me the links there rather than just sort of ask me during the show, because I can only just say, no, I don't know that. Anxious Aussie has got a couple of questions. What's your opinion about Max's claims about the virus and viruses not being contagious? Well, that's his theory. We've been told that a coronavirus, along with other viruses, is spread through droplets, which is apparently from our face. That's why we're asked being told not to touch our face and then touch things with our hands. When you think of droplets, you sort of think of, well, a drop of water, not sort of invisible droplets. And as that article that I showed you before, they've said that we're not going to be shaking hands for quite a while. Is it going to be illegal to shake hands? Is that what we're implying? Are they going to continue to asking us to do the, I call it the funny bone elbow greeting? I'm certainly not doing that, because I don't want to risk injuring my funny bone. There's nothing funny about hurting your funny bone. It's one of the most ill thought out names of a bone of the body. And Anxious Aussie there, other question is, what do you think of reports the virus may be impacting the immune system and getting into the brain? Yes, it does. It has been, there are medical experts have said that young people who get the coronavirus, that it can weaken their immune system, make them more susceptible to health-related illnesses later in life, which is sort of that's the same effect that HIV has. It's not HIV/AIDS that kills you. It's just the weakened immune system, which gives you a deadly form of pneumonia. Pork Film Carper said, if you were gay, do you think you would be a top or a bottom or both? That's an interesting hypothetical there. Well, I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, what would you, if you were gay, Port Film Co-op, would you be a top or a bottom? What's your answer to that question? Hypothetical question there. Remember, if you want to ask, participate in the AMA there. Then please use the entropy link. So what else have I got here? Oh yes, I want to do a follow up on a few names that Richard Wollstonecraft mentioned last night. He mentioned this U.S. Chemist, Dr. Charles M. Lieber, who had been arrested by the United States authorities for espionage against the U.S. on behalf of China. So you'll have to forgive me. I looked him up on Wikipedia, and surprisingly, Wikipedia has been as damning of him as all of us should be. So this is Dr. Charles M. Lieber here. There's a photo of him there. Was it coming up the photo? Yeah, that's him there. So remember that face if you ever see him pop up. So mentions here federal arrest. So on January 28, 2020, Lieber was charged with two federal counts of making materially false, fictitious, and fraudulent statements about his links to a Chinese university, according to the U.S. Department of Justice. There are two counts of alleged crimes proved by Lieber. First, during a Department of Defense interview in 2018, he was asked whether involved in the Thousand Talents Program, which is, it was established in 2008 by the central government of China, communist central government, to recognize and recruit leading experts in scientific research, innovation, and entrepreneurship. Thousand Talents Plan. What a weird name. Adding that he wasn't sure how China categorized him, DOJ believes Lieber's statement was false. And he'd been working at the Wuhan University of Technology, included a contract for Lieber to sign. As they there was an inquiry into inquiry of Harvard University about Lieberman's foreign affiliations in January 2019. Harvard interviewed Lieberman's report to the NIH, which had that Lieber had no formal association with Woot after 2012. Do you believe the statement was false? Lieber was charged with two counts of violating 18 U.S.C. 1001A2. One on April 24, 2018, one in January 2019 for making allegedly false statements. During his arraignment, authorities executed short search warrants at his home in Lexington, Massachusetts. The charges against Lieberman carry a sentence of 5 years in federal prison and $250,000 fine. Lieberman was placed on paid administrative leave by Harvard. So that is Mr. Lieber here. And we've also got Richard last night mentioned Marina Ibramovic, who he is a Serbian performance artist and filmmaker. Her work explores body art, endurance art, and feminist art, the relationship between the performer and the audience, and the limits of the body and the possibilities of the mind. We have a look at the controversy here. Among the transfers of emails leaks from John Podesta and published by WikiLeaks in the run-up to the 2016 presidential election was a message from Abramovic to Podesta's brother, Tony Podesta. Remember, John Podesta was Hillary Clinton's campaign manager, discussing an invitation to a spirit cooking. This was interpreted by conspiracy theorist Alex Jones as an invitation to a satanic ritual, and presented by Jones as proof that Democratic candidate Hillary Clinton had links with the occult. And obviously, this was in the same emails which led to the, I would say, the widespread dissemination of the Pizzagate child sex trafficking theory. And this is what Alex Jones, if I go to here, because she's been in the news again, Marina Abramovic, because she did a spirit cooking feature in the New York Times, and she also featured in a new Microsoft ad featuring spirit cooking and promoting Microsoft's virtual reality there. Microsoft quietly removed the ad from YouTube last week after it received over 24,000 dislikes within 24 hours and widespread disapproval of Abramovic, well known in elite circles and pop culture as a black magic ritualist. And that's got a link to Alex Jones breaking down why Abramovic is such an important figure in elite circles and more. And the New York Times had this: Marina Abramovic just wants a conspiracy theorist to let her be. Yeah, she's just got this, I think it's got a link to it here. Yes, this is a link to the archive version of the New York Times article. People have recommended to me, if I'm going to link to a mainstream source, use the archive link so you don't give them the traffic here. And it goes through the thing. Miss Abramovic's work can be violent, sometimes bloody, but the Microsoft video was innocuous. It was focused on the life in which musicgoers wear special headsets. So Miss Abramovic seems to appear before them. And then it mentions, yes, Alex Jones' wicked actions there. Port Film Co-op has asked on Entropy, with the advancement of AI, why has nobody really theorized that AI may be out of control and was to blame for releasing the virus in an attempt to enslave us step by step? Is that some Port Film Co-op, some sort of hint at 5G? It was... Because last week, the Washington Post ran that cable between U.S. government departments that the coronavirus may have been born in that Wuhan virology lab. But this week now the news cycle has moved back to the wet market and the bat soup. So I've always maintained that it's one of the two. It's either the accidental or intentional release from that bioweapons facility, or it's the person who ate the bat soup. Well, it could have been some form of a bat a delicacy. It might not have been bat soup exactly, but definitely the COVID-19, it evolved from bat coronavirus. It came from bats. We just don't know. It was whether from experimenting on bats, or it was because somebody ate a bat. But yes, the conclusion is that bats are filthy and less humans have to do with them, the better. So yes, I don't think that there is any sort of AI technological aspect to the outbreak. It's all been a human-to-human transmission, which, remember, we were initially told by the WHO and China wasn't possible. So I put the Entropy link in again. I'm coming to the end of my solo stream tonight. I see a few familiar names in the chat, along with the new faces there. Port Film Co-op has said, not a hint at 5G exactly, just that AI may have already decided we must go, and then there must be a way to rid us of it first, jail us, control us, and dispose of us. Well, you are right in the fact that technology is now being utilized, expanded, government's use of technology in their effort to contain the coronavirus. That's why they want us to download this app, because they're literally open when they're talking about tracking and surveillance now. is that yes, they won't let things go back to normal. Well, they've said that nothing will be normal now. We'll never go back to normal. This is a brave new world, but we've got to have this tracking app. And they say, trust us, it won't tell us where you've been all the time. And they make this argument as well that, oh, it's just like Apple and Google Maps. You give your information to Google and Apple, so why not the government? And yes, I distrust these corporations as well, but I mean, these Facebook, Google, they might think that they run the world, but they're still a corporation that we can choose voluntarily to deal with. Governments, we can never get out of our social contract with government. Because the whole thing, we're all in this together, please do the right thing. Remember, we never had a choice in all that, because the government enacted the emergency powers and threatened us all with $1,000 plus fines if we didn't comply. And of course, we never voted on these emergency pandemic powers because we've never been through a pandemic before. So let's get real about the difference between government and Facebook and Google and Apple. If you chuck your iPhone in the toilet and flush it down and it gets wrecked, Apple's not going to be mad at you. They're not going to come after you. Where if you get the ankle bracelet off you and flush that down the toilet and destroy it, you'll get a SWAT team with you in about 15 minutes. But this is why I say now's the time to now's the time to be political. Now's the time to support to talk politics. And as I've said before, that it's those who are saying we need to continue to the lockdown for as long as possible. You notice that they are the ones who previously said that we need to shut down our economy because of the coming climate catastrophe. And I noticed that the former member for Wentworth has just published an article on the Guardian, that Green Left former member for Wentworth. I don't mean Malcolm Turnbull. I mean John Hewson, who is also a former Liberal leader. Wentworth, it's had a long history as being a doctor's wives socialite area, and it had one of the highest outbreaks of coronavirus there. So this is what John Hewson has written here. Coronavirus is a dress rehearsal for what awaits us if governments continue to ignore science. Leaders have failed to listen to clear warnings and predictions, but response to COVID-19 is an inspiring indication of what we're capable of. Coronavirus pandemic should be seen as a dress rehearsal for what awaits us if we continue to ignore the laws of science, the physical world, and the demands of several catastrophic threats such as climate change. And I should also point out that John Hewson has actually, his full title is Dr. John Hewson, but he's not a medical doctor. He's also not a scientist. He's a doctor of economics. So he has no medical or science doctorate. So don't be misled by the doctor. And also Dr. Peter Van Onselen, who you'll see on Twitter, he's not a medical doctor. He is a doctor of political science, which, I mean, he's pretty much Peter Van Onselen through his dud predictions and basically going off the deep end on Twitter recently with his unhinged criticisms of the Morrison government. He's devalued the PhD so much. I mean, he's got a PhD in political science, and yet every political science prediction that he's made has turned out to be wrong. Remember, he's the guy that said there's no way that Scott Morrison can win the 2019 federal election, and I'm willing to have this replayed over and over again to my shame. So yes, he's not just a doctor, he's a professor, Professor Peter Van Onselen he teaches political science at the University of Western Australia. That's how smart he is, Dr. Professor Peter Van Onselen, political reporter for Network 10 as well, a guest host on the project, and you can see him on 10 News First as well. So now colleagues with Christopher Pyne at Network 10. Anyway, that's enough of my PVO rant, my point of view, POV on PVO. So yeah, let's keep going on Hewson's article. Just as Australia was disturbingly unprepared for the recent bushfires and drought, even though they'd recurred many times in our history, yeah, because we've always had bushfires and drought, Dr. Idiot. Even though there'd been many warnings of the risk over the years, and blah, 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 he goes on. There are politicians are generally unwilling to think longer term strategically to plan for and avoid or manage a series of catastrophic risks that are mounting and threaten our living standards and lifestyle, and in the end, human survival. And yes, he goes on and on about who would have thought that in a space of just 6 to 8 weeks, world could change dramatically. I think he's confusing, because obviously we all made the point that the left were initially very upset about the coronavirus, because the corona emergency, it totally blew away their climate emergency screechings. And let's not remember that the left, they were more worried at the beginning of this pandemic of people being racist towards Chinese people and the socialist alternative in Melbourne. They held a protest against the racist travel ban that the Scott Morrison's government put in place. So remember, they didn't like this coronavirus at the start. But once they saw the economic devastation that the lockdown caused, because that's what they've always craved, the left. They want economic destruction. They want human misery. They hate humanity. They believe that humanity has never been a force for good. And so they are just enjoying everybody being locked at home, the economic society falling apart in front of us, and they want that to continue for as long as possible to see how much economic devastation there can be. Because remember that they were promoting, when there was the toilet paper panic and then it moved on to other staples, that this was late stage capitalism. And they must be so mad now that there's so much toilet paper at the supermarket now. I was just at the supermarket before. There's not only is the toilet paper aisle full, but they've now got bloody giant ends full of toilet paper. There's so much of it. And now, since a lot of companies have now started producing hand sanitizer, there's quite a few supermarkets that have now got big bottles of hand sanitizer on the shelf now. So they're absolutely filthy that capitalism has been able to respond to food and essential supply shortages in 3 or 4 weeks. Like, we all forget that a month ago, everyone thought that there was never going to be toilet paper again, that we were going to have a toilet paper black market currency. So they've learned to love the coronavirus pandemic and the lockdown, the left, because they've always been control freaks. Even though they used to not like governments and globalism, they now love it. And they also love the police state as well. They think Daniel Andrews and Jacinta Ardern are heroes for keeping us all locked up. And I also notice that in the international press, such as CNN, They always talk about how Jacinta Ardern's lockdown has been a model for the world in containing the coronavirus. They never, ever mention Australia has been able to have a lower infection and death rate than New Zealand with a way less severe lockdown. They never say Prime Minister Morrison in Australia has done. We've done. And I'm back. I've switched over to the Wi-Fi 5G, so that seems to have fixed it up. At my home studio, the Wi-Fi 5G seems to work much better than just the normal Wi-Fi. And if you think I'm talking about 5G mobile broadband, I'm not. If you want to know what I'm talking about, home Wi-Fi 5G, then please look it up. Anyway, I was just in the middle of an epic rant there. Where did I go? About the communists and the anti-humanists. How they've learned to love this lockdown because of the economic devastation and destruction and how it's set humanity back, since they were so angry that they lost the climate emergency momentum and the push to shut down our economic activity in the hope of saving the earth from catastrophic global climate change. But going back to John Hewson's article, where he said, going back to the title here, he said that coronavirus is a dress rehearsal for what awaits us. There's a hint there. Port Film Carver said, I'm getting dry lips. I've run out of water and I don't want to drink anymore because then I'll be busting to go to the toilet. How's that now, Port Film Carver? He seems to be very focused on my appearance. I'm not sure if he's, you know, what's going on there. Do you want to volunteer to be my hair and makeup and personal groomer, Port Film Co-op? But Dr. John Hewson, he has hinted in that Guardian column that we can have these economic lockdown and shutdown measures to implement a climate emergency, because now that they've seen how easy it is for governments to implement economic shutdowns and a compliant public here, but they're going to have a harder they've had a hard time to date convincing the population that there's a climate emergency. The reason why it was easy for governments to get the public and businesses to obey economic shutdowns and coronavirus lockdowns. Port Film Car, shut up. It's fine. All right, let's make this an entropy poll. Does Tim have stuff on his mouth? Yes or no? You can tell we're getting into the silly end of the show now. So come on, Entropy, to vote in that poll. And don't forget, you can still ask me a question now that I'm back. And you can also send through a super chat as well. I think you're just seeing in the corner there. Oh yeah, I see it now. All right, let me just get a... I've only got a Coke, a delicious Coke Zero with me now to basically wet my lips here. Yeah, because this is a solo show, I'm talking so much, and so there's easy for be spots on my mouth there. There is that better now, Port Film Co-op. Let me know in the poll if I've still got it there. He said, now it's on your chin. What have I got on my chin now? Oh, yeah, I see now. God, are you watching this in ultra high definition? Yeah, I think I got it now. Strange name for a band. I said, get him a burqa. Oh yeah. As long as I do my face up well, I'm pretty to look at. The whole reason I'm doing this is I'm trying to see if... Oh no, wait, there's another side there. I know. Just I don't know, I think of this before. There we go, it's all gone now. Port Film Co-op, are you? And I should stress that Port Film Co-op is actually a filmmaker, so he does know what he's talking about. Yeah, Port Film Co-op said it's gone. Yeah, he was telling the truth in the end. He's just, I think you're studying my face too much, Port Film Co-op. You really are. Like, you're sort of like zooming in and sort of... Anyway... Now, before this show went to air tonight, there was a video premiere by Pissy Leaks Pete. I'm not sure if he's still in the chat at the moment. Yes, he's just there now, Pissy Leaks Pete. He premiered a video on the Asio director, Mike Penishead Burgess. He's doing a series of videos called the Unbearables, which is a compilation video of all the things that Asia have said about extreme far-right extremists. And yes, we are allowed to refer to the Asio Director General, Mike Burgess, as Mr. Penishead. I wonder if the left will call for us to be charged with sedition. Because you know what sedition is? It's a medieval law when you were charged with calling the king a fool. So yes, I wonder if there'll be any calls for you, Pissy Leaks Pete, to be charged with sedition. Because I remember 15 years ago, the left hated sedition laws, but I heard that they wanted Gideon Rosner from the IPA charged with sedition for calling for the lockdown to be ended because he was going against the word of the government. So this is the point that I'm making. The left... they love the police state now. They love the surveillance state. Well, they've been calling for ASIO to get more funding, ASIO to have more groups on its watch list here. And they'd kind of shut up about extreme far-right extremists during the coronavirus pandemic. But now they're back with this article on SBS News. Why Australian white supremacists and neo-Nazis are delighted with the coronavirus outbreak. They've welcomed the rise of the coronavirus, praising the closing of borders. Yes, we have praised the closing of borders. That's what's kept the numbers down, you idiot. So this article is by Jarini Blackery. I think that's how you pronounce it. I'm terrible with this... pronunciation. Bieber anti-bullying has said this is the article with the yoga mums. As global disinformation and conspiracy theories around coronavirus on the rise, some in the far right in Australia welcome the virus as a means of achieving political objectives. A far-right researcher goes by the pseudonym Andy Fleming, who is also known as Slack Bastard, has been watching the online chatter from far-right and neo-Nazi groups over the last few months and has said it's been disturbing. When is he not disturbed? He's always disturbed. He told SBS News white supremacist groups welcome the closing of international borders and the banning of foreign nationals from entering Australia. Well, shouldn't everyone... That's why we've contained the coronavirus. It's not the house arrest. It's the banning of foreigners and foreign travel, idiot. They're delighted. Get rid of the foreigners, they say. It panders to very strong pre-existing xenophobic sentiment. Well, xenophobia has a fear of foreigners as what's contained the coronavirus.
It is a foreign element, and it is parasitical. It ties to the idea of social decay and disease brought about by foreign elements from Asia. He's just stating a fact how the coronavirus was born. While many applaud the shutdown of borders, a smaller group is even welcoming the virus itself. I never welcomed the virus. Dr. Kirsty Campion from Charles Sturt University, hoping to bring about a social collapse. I haven't wished for that. They give rise to conditions more suitable for the expanded growth of the far right. Well, if Dr. Kirsty Campion is listening, it is the communists and the left who are hoping for a social collapse by ruining the economy, by keeping us all in lockdown and ruining human quality of life, standard of living as we know it. Acceleration is the strategy to achieving their ideology. They believe you need to capitalize on social unrest and destabilize the state, turn people against each other and rupture community cohesion. Quite a bit of online chatter is increasingly looking at a way to achieve the ideological goals. COVID-19 is very much being exploited by that. COVID-19 has seen a big rise in the numbers of street attacks on Australians of Asian backgrounds being publicized on social media and the mainstream media. Yep, they're all horrible, those public assaults. Oh, White Rose Society, they finally got something to do again. Said while these anti-Asian sentiments have been pushed by white nationalist groups, they are also easily seeping into the mainstream. People are extremely isolated online in their homes and are spreading hate and conspiracy theories and becoming radicalized through the extreme accessibility of this material in the mainstream space, spokesperson for the group told the news. Far-right groups have displayed racist banners in several cities in breach of lockdown laws, which were then posted on social media by accounts linked to the Proud Boys movement. These posts have been seen by SBS News, but you're not posting them there. Include material blaming Asian Australians for the virus and calling an event for multiculturalism. Well, where are these posts? Like, if you're going to say that these posts have been made, why don't you post them? Why don't you show us some proof? These posts were shared by Blair Cottrell, who's found guilty of inciting hatred. No, he wasn't. He wasn't guilty of inciting hatred. It was severe contempt, ridicule, and revulsion of Muslims, not hatred. So that is fake news by SBS. White Rose Society said they've been disturbing limping of the material shared by far-right groups and some wellness bloggers and anti-vaccination groups. And of course they go 5G and alleging the bioweapon is developed by China. White Rose Society and they're investigating the Washington Post as well. The far-right doesn't need to do all the propagandizing. Other movements are doing them for them. Yeah, like the Washington Post. We're seeing yoga mums talk about setting fire to 5G hours. Thank God yoga is banned at the moment. All the researchers told SBS that the confusion and fear surrounding COVID-19 fed a fertile ground for the far right in Australia, and that their ideas and views were getting much more traction than they normally would. And then that's got all the advice in the end. All right, we're nearly coming up to the end of the show and Dear Beltran Live. I would have been able to say a bit more if it wasn't for Port Film Co-op basically trying to do trying to instruct me to do a facial makeup on the air. How about I have a private viewing session with you, Port Film Co-op, before the show, when you can check out I'm looking nice and pretty before I go on air. I'll do a little private show for you. How does that sound for you, Port Film Co-op? So it's your last chance to ask me a question on entropy. It wasn't just Port Film Co-op who ruined my rants. It was also the non-5G Wi-Fi as well. But yes, that's the state of things at the moment. Oh, well, I've got a few minutes left. Yes, I noticed that the far right is also being blamed for the freedom protests over in the United States. The the protests in various US states demanding an end to lockdown and house arrest. And Jason Wilson, Antifa supporter with the Guardian. Remember, the Guardian Australia was the finances were brokered by Malcolm Turnbull. He has said the right. He's exposed the right wing groups behind a wave of protest events at COVID-19 restrictions. He mentions the Proud Boys here, conservative arm, militia groups, religious fundamentalists, anti-vaccination groups, and other elements of the radical right. Apparently, the one organized in Lansing, Michigan, was organized by the Michigan Conservative Coalition. It's also heavily promoted by the Michigan Freedom Fund. How dare these far-right freedom lovers demand their freedom? That is just so, so extreme. But going back to, because I'm surprised that SBS has regurgitated the far-right, extreme far-right extremists exploiting the coronavirus pandemic for political goals, because it fits into what I was saying at the beginning, how the left were so filthy that coronavirus had ruined their climate emergency. And it's in a period of a month, you see how they've adopted from going from a climate emergency to a coronavirus emergency. The lockdown must continue forever until we eliminate the virus. And anyone who suggests that maybe we should be able to be a bit more free, have some fun, see distant family members, they're grossly irresponsible, negligent, and they should be censored from the internet. So at the heart of it, the left, anti-freedom, anti-human prosperity, and so they've simply just moved from the climate emergency to the coronavirus emergency, because it was legitimate for a month ago for us to be concerned about the coronavirus infection and death rate spiraling out of control. But we've contained and suppressed the virus now. We want our freedom back now. That is the legitimate thing to back now. But as the people who thought that shutting the borders was racist, they're the ones who are now wanting the shutdown to go on further, even when it is now not necessary. So I think that is extremely telling about where the extreme far left extremists, communists, anarchists, socialists, Marxists, Maoist, Stalinist, genocide apologists come from. All right, so that is it for this solo Wilms Front tonight. Thank you everyone so much for watching, and I will see you tomorrow night for another edition of the Uncuckables, 8:30 p.m. Melbourne time on the Uncuckables YouTube and DLive channel. Remember that the live replay of this episode will be uploaded in podcast form. You can subscribe to the Wilms Front podcast on the podcasting app of your choice by going to timwilms.com. That's also got a links to my own social media, and also to ways to support the program outside of Entropy. And of course, Tread Tasman Talk on the Unshackled's YouTube channel, 6 p.m. Friday night. News update just before we end the show. Breaking news on that crash on the Eastern Freeway in Melbourne. Four police officers have been confirmed as dying on that multi-vehicle crash on the Eastern Freeway. So that's pretty horrific there. Maybe we need... yeah. I won't say anything more on that. That is tragic news now. Stay tuned for Dia Beltran live. And like I said, I'll be back tomorrow night with the live replay upload. I will remove the buffering, and I'll also remove Port Film Co-op's in-show face makeup tips as well. Good night, everybody.
Thanks for tuning in to Wilmsfront. Visit timwilms.com or Rational Rise TV to view the archive of episodes. And keep visiting theunshackled.net to view all our shows and to keep up with the latest real news and analysis.